And so I bid you all grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My brothers and sisters in Christ, and he went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. So if over the past few weeks, the epiphanies or revelations of Jesus as the promised Messiah and God with us have involved others pointing to him, this week, Jesus himself takes center stage as he begins his public ministry and by his words and his deeds shows that he is the light of the world, God with us. And this is desperately important because we need his light whether we think we do or not. And that's the first thing to note in Matthew's report this morning. When Jesus began his public ministry, he left his hometown of Nazareth, moved to Capernaum, because there were people dwelling in darkness and the reign of the shadow of death. And it was promised to them long ago that come the last days, they would see a great light. Now, when Isaiah was inspired to hand on that promise, darkness and death that Galilee knew had come from two sources. First, it had come from the idolatrous false religion of the northern kingdom that had set up two different golden calves at Bethel and Dan so that folks wouldn't have to go down to Jerusalem to worship. And then, when the kingdom refused to repent after countless prophets had been called to them to return, God let the Assyrians come and destroy the kingdom and take away many, never to return. Galilee had been among the first to experience the terror, the cruelty, and the devastation of the Assyrians. Indeed, they knew too well of darkness and death. And so to them, the promise of light was a promise of deliverance and restoration. But when Jesus, whose life is the light of the world, came to them, he did not deliver them from Roman occupation or from the corruption of political or economic forces. But he did bring them the kingdom of heaven and the reign of God. Now we've noted this before, but it bears repeating. For Matthew, the kingdom of heaven or the reign of God is not confined to this place or that. It has no borders as such. Rather, it is wherever God's work is being done and his word spoken so that the dead are brought to life. More than that, the proclamation by Jesus, who is God's chosen servant, who's God with us, the proclamation by Jesus that the kingdom of heaven is at hand is basically the same thing as saying the last days are here. And contrary to some imaginative misunderstandings among some Christians, the last days are not so much about the woe and destruction that are to come as they are about God's grace and judgment. In the last days, God has promised to bring back the lost, to restore the fallen, to reconcile those alienated by sin. And God has promised judgment for those who will not turn and repent. But remember, always, God does not desire the death of sinners, but that they turn and live. So Jesus come to Galilee, light for their darkness, to bring them back to his Father and free them from the darkness of sin and false religion. And that's one of the things we need a better feel for, I think, of how bad sin and false religion really are. You see, one of the dangers of all this grace that we have in Jesus is that it can lead us to forget that without him we'd be lost. That is, we get so used to forgiveness and salvation that the judgment and threat of the law seems like something that's far away and long ago. But the law is still here, my friends. And its judgment still bites at your sin. Sin is darkness and rebellion, and to sow to the flesh, to keep on in old ways, whether it be greed or pride, vindictiveness, indifference toward the word and worship, sexual immorality or whatever, to do that is to deny the price that was paid for you and to return to the darkness from which Christ came to deliver you. The kingdom has come, and light shines in the darkness. So let us walk by that light. Likewise, false religion, and not just, you know, the obvious ones like Hinduism or Islam, but false forms of Christianity also, that either fail to present Christ as he is in the scriptures or which ignore parts of the scripture that are unfashionable. False religion leads back to bondage under the whims of our old nature, or bondage to this world's ways. False religion can be deadly because it deadens the heart to the truth of Christ by offering a pale substitute that cannot bring one either light or truth. Now, Jesus has come to save both from sin and from false religion. So again, let us walk in his light. And with his light shining in Galilee, you'll notice that Jesus began to gather disciples. Peter, Andrew, James, John. And they weren't just disciples. Jesus had a purpose for them, that they follow him and join him in the work of fishing for others to catch them alive into his kingdom. Now, there's been a lot of argument over the years as to whether the call to be fishers here is a call for all believers or just the apostles and those who carry on in their office to preach and teach. Well, in good Lutheran fashion, the answer is yes. That is, there is a unique call given to Peter and the apostles that does not apply to all believers. And we see that in Jesus' public ministry as it unfolds. There are many who are described as disciples who do not follow Jesus continuously, nor are they sent by Jesus to proclaim the good news. Rather, they believe, they hear, and they return to their varied vocations at home, in the world, as those who know that they carry with them the love of grace of God. On the other hand, it is clear that Peter and the rest are set apart uniquely to hand on the good news, the gospel of the kingdom by their witness to Christ, to his works and his words. If you will, it is their unique job, as with pastors since, to toss the net of the gospel out into the world in order to catch people for faith in preaching and in teaching. But does that mean that the rest of the church has no part in catching people? Of course not. If we want to play with that fishing metaphor, there are those who will help keep the boat steady as the net is tossed out and dragged back in. There are those who will mend the net and care for it. There are those who will help keep the fish in the boat once they're caught, and so on. All of us in the church have a part to play in the gathering of people to Christ as we share his light in the midst of this world. And then we get to the heart of Jesus' work, proclaiming or heralding the gospel of the kingdom. Now, we've already spoken of the gospel in this season, good news. It is news of a victory that has been won over against sin and death and darkness, a victory over judgment and alienation. Good news that frees the captive and lifts up the poor and restores fallen men and women to their God. And you'll notice that Jesus, as he proclaims this gospel, what else happens? People are healed. Demons are put to flight. And the dark effects of sin are pushed back by the light of him who has come to deliver all. And that's just the beginning. That is, Jesus began to heal. He began to drive out demons. He began to restore creation that was broken by sin and death. But it was not yet time to finish that work. The work that he would finish is the work that would bring new life to fallen men and women. And then, after his death and resurrection, with that done, he would begin to move the whole of creation toward the day when all will be made new. Now, there's much more that could be said here, but for now, let's consider simply what has been given to us. First, obviously, Jesus is light for our darkness. He has come to us with life and light so that we need no longer dwell in the shadows of death. He delivers us from sin and false religion so that we have his life and truth. Second, also obviously, Jesus calls us to follow so that regardless of our various vocations in this world, we can be part of his work to gather folks into the kingdom. For remember, he wants everyone. And you get to be used by him to gather folks as you follow him and share in his life and his grace. Third, he is still pushing back the darkness. That is, folks are still being healed of diseases, whether through medical science or through Jesus' miraculous intervention. He is still at work bringing his light forth to heal. Maybe he doesn't heal everyone yet, only some now. And he's also still putting demons to flight, for he is King of Kings and God of God, and the evil foe is no match for him. So rejoice and find refuge in him. And then finally, Professor Gibbs, in his commentary on Matthew, would offer us this. There is a parallel between how Jesus began his public ministry and how it came to an end before his ascension. And here's what he means. When Jesus first came to Galilee, he proclaimed that the reign of heaven was at hand, that God's word and work was about to be evident for all to see in power. And when Jesus took the 11 up onto the mountain after his resurrection, what was the first thing he told them? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That is, Jesus was now executing fully the reign of God for all to see. Then, as Jesus began his work in Galilee, he called Peter and James and John and Andrew to make them fishers of men. And what does Jesus tell them after his resurrection? He says, as you are going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to keep all that I've instructed you. And back in Galilee, as Jesus proclaimed the gospel and did the work of freeing people from the effects of sin, what did Jesus then tell the disciples on the mountain before he ascended? I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Meaning that he is with his church and he will continue to push back the darkness and undo disease. Friends, in the light of Christ that has come to us, we are in the last days and know of God's grace that has come to us in Jesus. So let us leave the darkness, walk in his light, and share that with others. Even so, amen. And now, may that peace that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until the glorious day of his appearing. Amen.